Well, welcome to our session on the Middle East. Samina, I'll invite you to join us as well. We're going to begin our panel on the Middle East just very briefly by way of introduction. We have Lamia Mekamar, Nazila Ghania, Samina Yasmin, and Asif Ifikar, not necessarily in that order. That's on your order of the sheet. Asif, Nazila, Lamia, and Samina on this side. And we're going to have a brief 10-minute introduction from each of them, giving us a bit of a comment on the situation. And then we want to open up and have a dialogue together. So I will be the timer. I'll sit down here, and if you see a sign like this, it means both peace and keep it under 2 minutes more. why don't we start? We'll start with Asif and come this way.
Do you have to be there? Or? Okay, thank you very much. Just some comments that I think would reflect on issues that I believe we could also talk further about in terms of how we could empathize with people we're talking about. It's also important to see how issues as freedom, as tolerance, as minority rights are seen by those that we are talking about, especially in terms of the Muslim world. I'll begin by talking about the blasphemy issue. There is a detailed session on it, but just some aspects that I think should be understood before we move into greater depth or a more detailed discussion on this issue. There was a lot of reference to Pakistan, but some of the things that I think we have missed bringing into focus include the fact that this law in Pakistan was never really enacted by the parliament. It was a law imposed by a military dictator. And it did not have the consent of the Pakistani people through their representatives. Another important aspect, or another important question that needs to be asked, is how many people were actually prosecuted or punished under those laws. And when you look at the facts and figures, you'll be surprised at the absence of such cases. An important dimension also is the social aspect. It's important to understand why it is there, how this law is actually being used or misused for things as lynching, which is obviously outside the scope of law itself. And why are these people in a society which is otherwise largely opposed to these laws, still able to get away with it? What's the political aspect? What is the realpolitik that prevents politicians from revisiting these laws? Another important aspect that needs to be understood, which hopefully I'll be talking about later, and if you need to ask questions, we can discuss this, is the aspect of even intellectual and scholarly voices against these laws and against mob reactions of lynching and so on and so forth. These intellectual voices, these scholarly voices, have come from within the tradition and have played a very important role in challenging some of these positions. The problem is sometimes exacerbated by a host of other factors, ranging from how international community decides to intervene, especially, for instance, through drone attacks, U.S. drone attacks. How that has an impact is something that needs to be discussed, needs to be understood. I'll just give you an example, and we can talk about it later. One of the people that we have, Samina and I, chose to use in our discussions is an intellectual who, incongruously so, presented the opinion of the Hanafi scholars, who are most Pakistanis follow Hanafi schools, especially in the Sunni realm. There's four main Sunni schools that are schools of law that are usually used in the Muslim world: Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, and Hanbali. But in Pakistan, most people follow the Hanafi law. And this scholar, incongruously, because I say incongruously because he usually gives his own independent interpretations, but in this particular case, he pointed out that the mainstream Hanafi scholars were always against the blasphemy laws. And the person who's basically invoked to justify these laws, even by the more militant or radical Islamist groups, was a 13th century Hanbali scholar by the name of Ibn Taymiyyah, who's not generally accepted for any other opinions. These are the details that are sometimes totally, they totally elude the Western audience who will be looking at the whole discourse and the whole situation ethically from outside the tradition. So that was one aspect I wanted to sort of, I was hoping we would be able to talk more about. And this just doesn't apply to the blasphemy law itself. It applies to a range of issues that are seen exactly in the same way. It's important to understand the details. I really like the comment of one of the speakers who said that we can't afford superficiality in discussing with these issues. And superficiality does entail a deeper understanding of everybody else, including our own selves at times. You know, like, I mean, to quote Iqbal again, he said, "Aadmi az aadmi bigane ast," which means one of the biggest problems is that we are unaware of each other. Another aspect of this empathy is some of the feelings of discomfort, even amongst those who in the Muslim world who are for religious freedom, who are for tolerance, who are for minority rights, is how the Western notions of the non-Muslim notions of freedom are sometimes interpolated. A classic case is the burqa debate in France, particularly. People are not really able to understand how freedom on the one hand and a curb on expression of my religious identity can sort of coexist together. I mean, it's a difficult problem for them to understand. A lot of people have justified blasphemy in Pakistan, a fringe minority, but one of the justifications they came up with was a very recent justification, which was that by committing blasphemy, there is no particular law in Islam against blasphemy, but by committing blasphemy, these people indirectly create a situation of law and order, and therefore they have to be punished, which is a kind of indirect. To them it sounds, you know, to people who oppose this kind of indirect reasoning will argue, well, isn't philosophically or methodologically is the same kind of argument which has been given over there, that just because it's going to be an encroachment upon some cultural identity, a religious expression is prohibited. So these are also questions that need to be addressed. You know, like, I mean, what applies to emancipation of enhancing a certain kind of religious freedom in one space should also equally apply in another space. So these are some of the comments that I hope we'll be able to discuss in more detail. Thank you.